will be briefing you on a daily basis, and as long as the news makes sense, as long as there's something to say on a daily basis, he will come and answer questions about the transition. And he will tell you in a minute about who's on the team and what he'll be doing in some detail. And then he'll answer questions starting tomorrow. We still have meetings today, tomorrow, and Wednesday with people. We're going to be inviting some of the freshmen to come back and invite and meet with us on Wednesday, and we'll make them available sometime Wednesday afternoon probably. The second thing I want to announce, which I'm frankly very excited about and think is a very positive step, is that Congressman Frank Wolf has agreed to chair an advisory committee on family quality of life. We're going to ask the Democratic leadership to join us in appointing an equal number of people. It will have members, spouses, children, and staff serving on the committee. The purpose of the committee will be to look at the ways in which the House is an anti-family institution and to find ways to help us change into a much more supportive institution. The first thing we'll do is ask them over the next few weeks to canvass all of the members and find out what schedule next year would provide the maximum opportunity to be with children in terms of the schedule for the school systems. As all of you know, we again and again have had legislative schedules where when the children were available, their parents won't. When the parents were available, the children were in school. And it's been very destructive, I think, of the way we ought to operate. So we're going to try to find some very significant ways to improve the quality of life for children and for families as it relates to the Capitol. And we're going to do that on a totally bipartisan basis with a committee which we made up of an equal number of Democratic and Republican members, spouses, children, and staff working as a group under Congressman Wolf's leadership. And hopefully they'll get us their very first report by early December so we can actually make a schedule for next year that will be congruent with the school systems and it will maximize the chance for parents and children to be together during the breaks. I think that's a very, very positive step in the right direction, and I hope it indicates that there's going to be a lot more bipartisan spirit and a lot more spirit of trying to make this institution friendly for human beings and open to practical everyday changes with ideas coming from anybody. This is not just a closed system of Republicans who happen to win. What I'd like to do now is call on Mr. Nussel to tell you a little bit about the transition.
Well, thank you, Newt. I'm honored by your
Jim
selection.
Nussel of Iowa,
let me
who
start
will be heading
by saying,
the transition
I think it was
team
Einstein
for
that said the problems
Mr. Gingrich.
The problems cannot be solved by the same thinking which created those problems in the first place. Or the other way to put it is, if you always do what you always did, you'll always get what you always got. That's the way we say it back in Iowa. Well, today we embark on a mission, and that mission is to change business as usual in Washington. That is the mission that was created for us by last Tuesday's election. It's not only transition, it's really transformation. It's like building a rocket ship, quite frankly, while it's taking off. Transition would be when you trade keys. You give me your keys, I'll give you my keys. Transformation is really a redesign and renewal of the administrative and legislative processes of the House in order to make a more effective process in governing this nation. As the transition chair, let me just announce for you the team members, members of Congress who have been asked to join with us in the transition. Vern Ehlers of Michigan, Bob Franks of New Jersey, Deborah Price of Ohio, Pat Roberts of Kansas, Bill Thomas of California, Bill Young of Florida, John Boehner of Ohio, Jennifer Dunn of Washington, and John Linder of Georgia will serve on a personnel committee. Today we are meeting to establish first a transition office, to have that office staffed. Dan Meyer of the Whip's office and Kerry Knott of the House Conference office will be the key staff people, as well as Steve Greiner from my office. Letters have been sent to Speaker Foley and to other administrative officers of the House of Representatives with regard to documents, with regard to jurisdiction of their offices, space, and personnel. We expect and have so far been given cooperation in the coordination of this transition. We will also be establishing a contact and coordination with the Senate because there are many joint issues of transition that both the Senate and the House have to consider. First of all, let me say, as far as a tone for the transition, everything is open for review, and change will be considered for every single issue involving the House of Representatives in its administration. Nothing is exempt from that process. There will be a new order. It was demanded by the voters, and it will be demanded by this transition team. We will change business as usual. Let me just indicate to you that there will be two phases for this transition. Phase one begins actually last week, but today in earnest, of course, as we work toward opening day in January 4th. The second phase will be from January 4th through the first 100 days as we begin to implement not only the changes legislatively and through rules, but as we try to, as best we can, live up to our commitment with the contract with America. We have been given in the contract a very specific role with regard to cutting congressional committees and one-third cut in staff, as well as a full audit and inventory of the House of Representatives so that we can tell the American people how their money, it's not our money, it's their money, and how their money has been spent in the House of Representatives and how it will be spent in the future. With that, let me just say again that I'm honored at this challenge, and I look forward to working with the leadership as we move down this road together.
I'm Pat Roberts. I'm the chairman-elect of the now all-powerful House Agriculture Committee. But having served as a staff member for 14 years and as a member for 14 years and having served on the House Administration Committee along with Bill Thomas, we think we can lend some experience, some expertise, that change for the sake of change may sound good, but you have to beware of the law of maybe unintended effects. So we want the changes to be effective, and we want them to be commensurate with the agenda on the part of Republicans, and that will be our effort. That will be my main role on the Transition Committee. I'm looking forward to it. It's been a long time, and so consequently, in terms of experience, I think that experience and change can go hand in hand in terms of what we should be doing and also what we should not be doing. And as Mr. Nussel has indicated, we will be open to all suggestions. We will do a very careful job. We'll do a very thorough job. And the one thing that I am especially proud of is that after coming through the bank and the restaurant and the post office investigations, we will provide public disclosure, which should make all of you very happy. It's a pleasure to be part of the team.
That was Pat Roberts of Kansas, who is the chairman of the Agriculture Committee, a member of the transition team, elected in 1980. And now here is Congressman Dick Armey, who is widely believed to be the next majority leader.
Obviously, as you might guess, I'm excited and pleased for that. And I think I'm fully aware of the responsibilities. My resolve, and I dare say I speak for the Republican Conference, is that the House of Representatives will operate under Republican majority as an inclusive body and a democratic body, a body that encourages full participation and full respect for all its members, but still nevertheless a body that feels strongly that it has received a mandate from the American people to move legislation. The contract with America was clearly a part of this past campaign with respect to the House of Representatives, made so not only by our own assertion to the American people that these are the things we will do in your first 100 days of a Republican Congress, but by an assertion on the part of the Democrats as they took their exception to the contract. Clearly, I think we can safely say the contract obligation was in the minds of the voters when they cast their vote. And I can tell you that, in a sense, for me, facing these new responsibilities, it's a gratification to know that our roadmap for legislation for the first 100 days is in place. We know what we're going to do, and we will be ready to do it. The contract will be fulfilled. And as the contract is fulfilled, it will be done so in such a manner to give full respect to the jurisdictional rights of each of the committees, full participation by the committee process, and as the committees are moving forward on the contract and the contract is moving through the floor, we will be asking the committees to examine their areas of jurisdiction to see what additional work we might continue to do beyond the 100 days in the direction of giving America what clearly I think they said they wanted, a smaller, more well-focused government, doing well those things a federal government might be doing, having the discipline to know the limits of its legitimate business, and giving in the final analysis a smaller government financed by lower taxes that engages the American people with greater respect and greater freedom to conduct their own affairs. We are excited about the coming 2 years, and we feel like the transition process is well underway and in, no doubt, good hands. And I have to tell you, I'm very proud of the selection that we've made for our transition team. Thank you.
Let me just say two other quick things. First, I should have said earlier that Congressman Roberts will be
Congressman Gingrich
with Senator Dole. As you know, they have a rather deep, long relationship out of Kansas. And we are going to be coordinating our transition, obviously, with the Senate transition, and it's a very exciting opportunity. Secondly, I just want to correct one thing, which is sort of in the spirit of the city, became a fact, although it wasn't. I went to make a speech on Friday. At the Willard. That got reported as my getting out of a Cadillac as though it was my Cadillac now that I was suddenly powerful. In fact, that had been sent by the group. And then it was somehow described as Gingrich has traded in his Honda Accord for a black Cadillac. And I just want to report to you, first of all, I don't have a Honda Accord. I have a 1967 Ford Mustang. I still have it. And second, I don't have a black Cadillac, which went literally from a major newspaper into Newsweek's conventional wisdom column as sort of an example of how facts come into existence. So I have no tax-paid car. I just sort of, as you know, I live across the street, and I just walked over this morning. So I just want to correct that. Yes, ma'am.
When you say you're going to cut all the staffs by a third, are you going to cut the speaker's
Congressional committee staffs. Congressional committee staffs. I don't know what we're going to do with the leadership staff yet.
Congressman Gingrich.
On your first day, you had mentioned your first day. What are your top priorities?
It's all listed in the contract, and we're going to do what it says in the contract.
But in other words, will you do anything beyond?
We don't know yet. We don't know yet. I'm not going to get into other substantive issues. I'll talk about the transition and the family
Congressman,
committee.
About the schedule.
Yes.
There's an idea out there being floated by one of the Republican contenders for the 96 election to cut members' pay and also substantially reduce the length of time members are in town. Do you support that idea?
I think everything ought to be looked into. This is a time for being open to dramatic, bold changes, and I don't automatically reject it. Yes, sir. I don't want to discuss it today. I'll talk about the transition assignment and about the family committee.
Well,
that's
on,
all.
On the transition, can you address, there's thousands of Democratic staffers. Do you expect all of them will be asked to leave?
I think Mr. Nussel will have to answer that in the next couple of days. They're looking at, I think he indicated that in some cases it may run to 100 days. Is that correct?
But you don't see keeping any of these Democratic staffers who...
No.
Is the 100 days calendar days or legislative days?
100 days calendar. I think calendars. Calendar days, 100 days.
Which may make calendar days legislative days.
As many as we have to.
Is that 5 days a week from the House?
We're gonna get done as much as
we will get the contract done within the 100 days. And if that means working 7 days for that first 100 days. We will...
That is Congressman Army of Texas.
...contract within the 100 days. When we committed to an open process that would allow participation by all our members, giving due respect in the right to participate to both majority and minority, we anticipated that the minority may flood the floor with amendments and try to slow down and stop the process. In anticipation of that, we had a resolve at the time we wrote the contract that we would be prepared to work 7 days a week if necessary, even 20 hours a day if necessary. But there are two things we will not violate. One is our commitment to an open process where people are allowed to participate, irrespective of minority or majority status. And two, our commitment to get the work done. We believe a Congress where every member feels that their right to participate is fully respected is a Congress that will work smoothly and efficiently. And we expect that to be the case.
Do you feel you can avoid the logical traffic of power, which is that the majority tends to overwhelm the minority on this committee process, etc.?
Well, let me just say very clearly. We, and I dare say I speak for all of us Republicans, we do not believe we won power. We won responsibility. And the trappings of responsibility, I think, are a completely different thing than the trappings of power. And we have a responsibility to legislate on behalf of the lives of American citizens. That's what we will do.
Do you expect there to be significant opposition within the caucus to any of these contract items, for instance, term limits?
Who knows? The commitment is to bring them up under open rules to have people, give people an honest chance to vote who they want to. But
Mr. Gingrich,
any other questions?
Do you expect, he was asked, any resistance on the part of the Republican caucus to any of the items in the contract? He says, who knows?
We wanted to maximize the opportunity for substantial change. Over half the conference is freshmen and sophomores. It's very important to understand this country has sent a very powerful signal for change. And it would be, and I commend to all of you Meg Greenfield's column this morning. This is a city which is like a sponge. It absorbs waves of change, and it slows them down and softens them, and then one morning they cease to exist. We want to, every way we can, bias the opportunity in favor of the American people actually getting the changes they're asking for. Now, obviously, every member is going to play a major role. Every member is going to participate.
Will the delegate voting power be part of the transition?
That will be recommended back to us in the next 2 weeks.
The members of your caucus are not as enthusiastic about the contract and about what you plan to do.
I thought I'd just let Mr. Roberts step forward here.
I don't need a walker, but I...
This is Congressman Roberts of Kansas.
Yes. Well, that's the same thing. As I indicated, I have 14 years' experience as a staffer, 2 years in the Senate, 12 in the House, and 14 having the privilege of representing the 1st District of Kansas. And I can tell you, I'm more excited than probably the new members. How long have we waited? This is a historic opportunity. But speaking from experience, again, you have to worry about the law of unintended effects, and that's why, in terms of the transition team, I think they have several of us on board that can say, yes, we want change, and we want change probably more fervently than most of the new members. If you want to get into how I really feel about this, you could stand back for a real sermon and, come to the meeting. And so it's terribly exciting. But that doesn't mean, of course, as 10 things are proposed, if we see maybe two or three that we think would have some consequences, it would be contrary to the contract with America and a legislative agenda that would be fair and effective and we can get it done, why we can, toss in our 2 cents worth. I think it's a very balanced transition team.
I'll just pass it over. Somebody just asked me to expand on the WOF Committee for a second. The WOF Committee on Family Quality of Life will be asked to look, frankly, at the totality of how the congressional system works. I don't want to prejudge. The only thing I'm committed to coming out of that is that we get a recommendation by early December on what the school schedules are for next year so that we can maximize the availability of recess time for members to parallel recess time for children so we can give younger members a chance to really be with their families. But, for example, they may well look at, and I know Frank has a number of ideas, and Frank Wolf has worked very hard on the question of how to build how to have pro-family policy, not just pro-family values. And I think that's very important that the policy follow the values. And I think they may well look at a number of other things, including some time certain. I mean, we may well have one night a week where we try to break early for those families that are in town, or that we may well do several events starting as early as the swearing-in in January. We consciously try to create an opportunity for the children to be involved and to have a real sense that this is, that we want the families to have a decent... You can't talk about improving the quality of public life in America without talking about the degree to which it brutalizes and damages families by its intensity and its pace and its lack of concern for them. So I'm very excited by it. As I said earlier, it will have absolutely equal numbers of Democrats and Republicans. It'll have spouses and children as well as staff members involved, and will be designed to give us the broadest range of advice on how to improve this place for families.
Mr. Gingrich, in terms of, in the context of your transition from Minority Whip to Speaker of the House, you're already taking some heat.
I'm not going to discuss any of that. I'll talk about the transition and the Family Committee.
On the transition, Mr. Gingrich, the Family Committee is...
Because I think it makes several points. First, that we're going to try to run a more humane house. Second, that we're going to run a very bipartisan house.
Why was the family committee your
first
announcement?
Third, that we're going to turn values into policy and not just leave them as empty rhetoric. So I think it's a vivid example that this is not necessarily going to be the way many of you would have projected it. That while we are determined to get very profound change in government for the American people. We're going to try as much as possible to do it in a very open, participatory way, and we're going to involve Democrats as much as we possibly can so they have a sense that they're being treated better than we were and that they have a better opportunity to participate than we ever had during the years I've served here.
This yes, ma'am. Kinder, gentler approach.
Huh?
Don't you want some revenge?
No.
Limiting your staff and all this
close
vote. No. Look, I think that.
Don't you want some revenge against Democrats?
Dick Harvey said it exactly right. We have been loaned an enormous amount of responsibility, and the columns of the last two or three days have begun to pick up on it. The Wall Street Journal poll last Friday. I don't remember ever seeing a poll that said that 55% of the country preferred that the Congress lead. I mean, that is such an astonishing change from the numbers we were getting in October that it is breathtaking and very sobering. And the four of us are here today to say to you that we are trying to respond to what we believe is a heartfelt request by the American people to truly lead. Now, I've made very clear we're going to lead in a direction we have laid out in our contract. The president took up the contract as a campaign theme. The Democratic National Committee ran ads against it. It became legitimately a choice the country chose. But we're going to do it in a way which is far more open, far more participatory, which is aimed at making this place a more human-friendly institution than it has been. We might even try to get enough room for all of you to be in without being squeezed. But I think that's too telling. Dick wants to comment.
Let me, on the question of revenge and vendetta,
Congressman
Armey. I would like to share with you Army's axiom. Army's axiom is you cannot get ahead while you're getting even. It's a waste of time. It's a waste of other people's resources. It's not an honorable thing to do. It's not a necessary thing to do. The nation expects us to move ahead and to pass legislation that makes Americans' families better. That is our responsibility, and we have not spent a moment thinking about getting even with anyone.
Are you aware of all the nooks and crannies of Democratic power and everything that happens around here? Are you going to be able to...
The transition team will discover all of the existing institutions, offices, functions of Congress that have been here for the past 40 years, much of which has been secret to us on our side of the aisle. We will redefine the House of Representatives as an efficient, effective, and an inclusive legislative body that fulfills the desire of the American people, and I believe the desire of the founders of our Constitution, as a body that is, in fact, the people's body that is there for the purpose of making legislation. That's what we will do. And if there are institutions that are unnecessary, they will be removed. Yes, we will.
Thank you.
Hopefully today. We talk price.
November 4th.
You've been listening to live coverage of a news conference by the House Republican leaders from National Public Radio. We're joined now by NPR's Dan Schor, who is at his home office, connected by the Dan Wire to NPR. Dan, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
We're looking at a kinder, gentler nude here. This is a very conciliatory and forthcoming, responsible Republican leadership.
Well, they have asserted responsibility, and they have asserted that they're not there for revenge, and it's about what you expect from a victorious Republicans in the House. I think it's interesting that the way they're getting started is by establishing this Committee on the Quality of Life that is headed by Congressman Frank Wolf. I have only one question to ask. Since Dick Armey says that in trying to work on their contract with America and trying to get that done in the first 100 days, he said they will be willing, if necessary, to work 7 days a week and 20
yes.
hours a day.
It's a tiny bit inconsistent there.
How then are they going to improve the quality of life for the children and make sure that these members of Congress stay home with their kids more?
It's very interesting, isn't it, Dan? It's not been very many years at all that members of Congress just simply didn't have young children. that there were that coming to Washington, to Congress, or to the House or to the Senate was much more of a cap to a career than it was the beginning of one. And now we have all of these very young members, freshmen. Half of the Republican Party, as Congressman Gingrich pointed out, has served fewer than two terms. So there are a lot of young families, and apparently this is a serious consideration for a lot of people when thinking about getting into politics.
That's right. And I think what is important when you get this series of news conferences so early in the game, and clearly Congressman Gingrich, who has been almost everywhere on radio and television since the election, intends to continue this style of operating out in the open and speaking on everything. But today, of course, he was rather restrictive. He wanted to speak only on the transition and only on this quality of life committee, as he calls it, and clearly in doing so, he wants to establish make certain kinds of symbolic statements. Congress, the government, cannot really do very much about the quality of individual life, but he can assert the aim of doing that, and by saying, well, first we'll start with people in Congress and make sure that they can spend time with their kids, and we hope that will get around and more people can spend more time with their kids. Of course, the Congress is in better control of its hours than most of the families in America are today. In any event, there you are. We have people coming in, and they want to go through this transition, and they're going to tear everything down and start all over again and build what they call a more inclusive and fairer thing. And I thought the interesting thing is they have said revenge is not their aim, and I think they'll probably work on that.
Dan, you might want to check the mixer there at your where you are. It's suddenly our sound went very peculiar. We want one of the things I thought was interesting was that Newt Gingrich was asked about talking about committee staffs and the transition or the transformation, as Congressman Nussel of Iowa referred to it, when he was asked about the chances that he would think about keeping some of the Democratic staff. He had a very simple, very direct answer to that, and it was no. I also think we ought to point out that very soon now, the week of December, the 5th and 6th of December, the Republican Party, which will be taking over the Congress of the United States, the House of Representatives, will meet to select officers and to elect the chairs of committee. So we will have many more details by the first week in December. Congressman Gingrich also told us that there was a powerful impulse to change rising out of this election, that the American people had spoken very clearly on the question of change, and he referred to an editorial in the Washington Post this morning suggesting that Washington has a way of soaking up that impulse and slowing down that momentum to change, and he says that that is absolutely not going to happen. Dan, you back? We will be back in touch with Dan if we can find him. But for the moment, we heard this morning from Congressman Newt Gingrich of Georgia, who is likely to be, we expect him to be, the next Speaker of the House of Representatives, making the leap from whip of the minority over a number of positions to the Speaker of the House. Congressman Dick Armey of Texas, who was the chairman of the Republican Conference, which is what the Republican Party calls its the equivalent organization on the Democratic side, is called a caucus. Mr. Armey is expected to be the majority leader as we roll up the ladder. We also heard from Congressman Jim Nussel of Iowa, who is heading the transformation team, and Congressman Pat Roberts of Kansas, who is lending, he says, his experience to this cause. That brings us to the conclusion of the special broadcast of a news conference by House Republican leaders as they prepare to take control. The engineers for our broadcast were Tom Carpenter, Kevin Langley, and Gary Henderson. John Ogolnik is the producer, with help from Jeff Rosenberg. With NPR News senior analyst Daniel Shore, I'm Linda Wertheimer.